It is Thursday, the 21st of February, and this is episode 152 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode. I am Chris and I am joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Christopher.
How are we? Tired. I know that already.
I'm tired because I had to go to Portsmouth. Makes me cranky. Planes make me cranky.
Never fun, is it?
Do you know, like, the Great Unwashed really are quite dirty. Really ticks me off.
I have to share planes with them and everything. It's disgusting.
There's a lot to be said for just like, well, if they're not sneezing, they're farting. One guy was constantly, it's like, do the toilet. Just go.
Off you trot. To trot. What a lovely opening to our podcast today. Let's move on to the news. And we're going to start today with PS4. Why not? They had a big announcement late last night for us. About 11 p.m. they started chattering away. Chattering is pretty much all they did, really. They showed us a controller, which they called the DualShock.
Which had been leaked.
Yes, which we'd already seen the previous week. And it was the one that we all looked and thought, well, it looks crap. Anyway, so they released that. And they talked around their service and what they're kind of trying to aim to do and stuff like that. So I guess that's... Should we have a look at some of the... Well, let's have a talk through like they did, some of the stats and see what we think. We've got... What have we got? So they've got a single chip, but it's got 8 cores on it. They go on AMD, and they reckon that's going to give them 1.84 teraflops of processing power.
I wish I had some terahawks music, just as you said, teraflops.
I mean, those stats again sound, you know, probably 5 years ago that was a supercomputer, and now we're getting them in games consoles. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
But is it combined with the graphics card? Is it all combined together?
Oh, I've no idea.
Separate? Yeah, who cares? But basically, they are going to have a built-in hard drive. They're keeping with Blu-ray and DVD, USB 3, gigabit Ethernet ports, and we've got HDMI and digital audio out. So, you know, they look like good, strong specs for a machine anyway.
Yes, and 8 gig of RAM. I mean, and I think that was one of the things that there was always a bit of a thing about. The PS3 was very well spec'd, but it didn't have much RAM.
It didn't have RAM and it didn't have bandwidth at certain key points that crippled it a little bit. You know, they've done the normal thing of showing us all these spangly, this is what we're going to be able to do and this is how many polygons we're going to be able to move around. They did that with PS3.
Yes, exactly.
And nothing ever looked like their videos did.
Do you know, I watched a MotorStorm because when the PS3 was launched, they had a MotorStorm it was a render of like expected gameplay. Mm. I've still not seen a game like that render.
Anything like that? Yeah, no. And they kind of said it was the it's Pixar processing power. They reckon they had for real time processing.
Yeah,
and it would never ended up being like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a bit of egg on their face. So maybe maybe they've got it right this time. Well, but they also... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, they trotted out things like Killzone. It was like, have you not learned?
They trot the same things out all the time.
And the big head demo. Here's a head.
Yeah, look, we made a head. Oh, good. So the controller, they did actually show the controller. And I have to say, it does look better from... what's the word? I can't... You know, so from a sitting in your hand...
ergonomically.
That's the word, exactly the word I was looking for. Good one.
Fantastic.
But what it does look like is pretty much the Xbox controller, you know, was it the S controller they called it, whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, so it looks like the actual handles on it are going to be more comfortable now, thank goodness.
It's the triggers. Still, fix the damn triggers.
Triggers still look shit, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so... They don't look like they've listened or learned on that front. I guess, you know, they can't make a controller that looks like an Xbox controller too much because then they get moaned at.
Really? Nintendo do it?
Yeah.
They just come out and says, look, that one's really good.
That works. Let's do that, yeah. But it's also got a touchpad on it. So Vita S, so it's a capacitive touchpad, 2-finger control. And it's got all the tilt sensors that you come to expect. But have you ever used a game that actually uses those tilt sensors?
Have I?
I don't know if Wipeout did.
I think it did, but I kind of switched it off, yeah. If I remember. I kind of trusted more my digits and actually me in control rather than where I hold it at an angle. I just never got to grips with that.
They've also whacked a mono speaker inside the controller, very Nintendo-esque, and also put a light bar on the back of it, which is going to have, so it's an LED light bar that can change colour. And that's also going to be used, it's going to have what do they call it, eyesight or eye camera or something.
Yeah.
So they're going to have stereo eye cameras to make so it can see in 3D and it can actually work out where players are in relation to the console.
Yeah, so this is their little camera. This is their new revision of their, was it IPS? Was it the PlayStation I? Yeah, it was. That's what they used to call their PlayStation camera. And this is like the new version. So I don't know if it's just, does that mean the Move is now built into every DualShock?
No, I think that's going to be extra. I think they're still going to have...
Good grief. Good grief, says Henry.
But, I mean, say, it will have at least ability to track, two players. Why do you want to find out where two players are sitting? I guess they now can tell depth and stuff. So maybe they're going to start a bit more connect focused. They reckon they can rip people out of their background if they can figure out where they're holding the controller, for example. So they could probably integrate you into the game. So they've done that in some of their PS3 games, right?
Yeah,
I don't know because I've got a PS3.
I'm just saying, yeah, because I've no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, fair enough. Some impressive stats. They're saying that you don't have to be connected to the internet to play. Tick in the box above Xbox potentially.
Yes,
and they're not going to stop you having copied games. So there's going to be no restriction on buying secondhand games. Effectively, another snipe across the bow, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. The one thing we did talk about, cheesy Dave Perry came on, was Gaikai. I'm sure that's how you pronounce it. But and this was the streaming gaming service that they bought about a year ago. But they were very, very kind of loose on the details. So basically,
they've been loose on the details, full stop.
They have. And even then, their chairman came out today and says the spec can change.
So, right.
So well done, Sony. but he came on and says, you know, Gaikai is going to be baked in, and it'll allow you to, you know, see when your friends buy a game. I'm thinking, what's that got to do with video streaming? But they never talked in detail, but certainly they've confirmed that it's not backwards compatible. You won't be able to put like a PS3 disc in and it'll play. It's a totally different architecture, and there's no way they're going to even, you know, try and do emulation. So although they didn't mention it yesterday, people seem to still believe that there'll be some sort of streaming game service for playing older games.
Right. But in reality, right, so Xbox was backwards compatible with certain games.
Yes.
I never ever used that service. And it caused them all sorts of trouble and pain to release those backwards compatible games. And just never, why would you do it? You move on. The only time you'd ever want to play an old game probably is when you've only got one or two new ones, which you hate because, you know, first release games are usually rubbish.
Well, if you think about it, when you've picked up a 360, when you bought, was it PGR4? Was it PGR3? Was it one of the release titles?
I think it must have been three. Actually, yeah.
And you're not going to go back and put in
PGR1. No, PGR2. I mean, or rather, there's very few people that would bother.
Yeah,
and if they're that bothered about it, they'd still have their old console hooked up anyway. So, yeah, so I don't think that's any miss. I don't think that's a miss at all.
No, they also talked about a couple of things, you know, that's painful right now. You know, so when you do an install, you can start playing, you know, pretty quickly rather than waiting for the whole thing to install.
They have a dedicated chip to control all the downloads and uploads that are going on without impacting.
Very Apple-esque, because they talked about when when their tablets, not tablets, their laptops came out last year, it would do the kind of, if it's connected to power, it will do some, you know, it'll download podcasts and app updates and all that kind of stuff overnight. So this sounds like it's going to do much the same.
Which is a good idea, because that's one of the most painful things about PlayStation.
Yeah.
If you haven't turned it on in a while, then you're not playing games that evening.
Well, if you hadn't turned it on in like 5 days, because there's so many bloody patches. But mean, the whole point of the console was you should just switch it on and it's there. That was always the beauty of it compared to PC games and patching and installing and
yeah, and it reckons you're going to be able to install games quicker and in the background so you can still play while they're actually installing, which is all good news. I guess that's going to be up to the developers, though, to figure it all out.
That's usually
the way with PlayStation, or Sony, rather, in their games console. They leave it to the developers to figure it all out.
And lots of vague promises about, you know, we'll hook up with Facebook and we'll have tablet applications, including on iOS. You'll be able to, you know, extend your game experience across all these platforms. It's like, okay.
Also pushing the video sharing. So they've got a dedicated video compressor with the idea that you can actually stream your gaming live and people will be able to become directors and control what the stream is that's going out. Again, never used any of those features in games.
But that kind of sharing of gaming is massive. So Twitch...
Is it?
Yeah, Twitch is really taken off and gets a lot of followers, and it's now got some paid options in it as well. Mm. And if you go and look in YouTube, I mean, some of the biggest channels on YouTube were things like, you know, Minecraft, World of Warcraft. You know, there was a lot of, and I think they just see it as an expect. You know, there's the whole, you know, best FIFA goals and, you know, Modern Warfare and all that. I do think they see it as some sort of, we have to have that feature. It's a feature tick. You know, I think they're in a competition with themselves and Microsoft. Yeah. About offering this, and I think they've got it. Tick.
Again, all the games on Xbox have ever offered that kind of sharing thing. The only reason I'd have ever done one thing would be to get an easy 10 gamer score. <That's>
Yeah.
So I've never. Maybe on my new fat broadband, I will not start. You know,
I reckon there's a couple of Halo moments that you would have liked to have uploaded if it was nice and easy.
I certainly did upload one video where a certain other player was being a bit of a dick. No names mentioned.
Wasn't me, was it?
Maybe. No, Google.
I don't even know about this.
hold on
before you jump on. Do you want to buy a PS4?
Ooh,
because I'm letting you pre-order it today for £20.
And you know what? So this is a console that we don't know what it looks like. We don't know the final specs because we've been told that they could change. We don't know its price. We don't know what we got an idea of what games are going to be. We don't know anything about this thing really.
Not even its release date.
They did a whole bloody announcement that they didn't really announce anything properly.
Not even a release date. They've just said it'll be out for 2013. And I was talking to Shaq at work, and he's like, "About for Christmas." I went, "Yeah, but where?" That could be America and Japan, and we'll be, you know, June.
You've got to doubt that, but you could be. You're right.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get why they did that announcement yesterday.
But, no, I don't really either. But yeah, go put your £20 down if you're that way inclined.
I wouldn't do it again.
No.
Don't know why.
Wonder what it says that. Yeah. But yes. So I you know what I've been. It's been a good Blu-ray player. Let's put it that way. Google has shown us videos of what their Project Glass is going to be like in real life. What it's like to live with a Project Glass. So Project Glass was these little pair of spectacles, although they're just like one little bit of... I don't know how to describe it there. We've talked about it before anyway. So you get basically head-up display, right? Of stuff.
It's a pair of glasses without the glasses.
Without the glasses,
you got a little cube kind of Perspex looking plastic thing that sits on your kind of
bit like fighter pilots use. Yes.
Yes.
And they've been showing us videos of what it's like to have that in your life.
It looked cool. Well, the actual life.
It looks cool because all of the pictures didn't show the knob wearing the stupid monocle.
But even getting away from that, the 2 minutes of that life was more than I've done in 40 years. And and I'm like, all I'm going to be doing is sitting at work. That's not going to be interesting. Emails
just coming. Yeah, I know. I can see it on my main screen.
Yeah, my drive home, which is normally 14 minutes, is actually going to take 15. Thanks, Google Glass.
Right. Cheers for that. Yeah, I can see the traffic. But, you know, what it does say is that first-person perspective videos are going to get awfully boring awfully quickly, aren't they? with people. But yeah, but they were showing how you could effectively, a bit like the Kinect, you can say, you know, Google Glass, record video, whatever. I don't know how they actually did it, but and then it starts recording. Well, and magically, in their demos, it recorded exactly the right thing at exactly the right time all the time.
Yeah, I think they were doing some, was it OK Glass? OK Glass Record or something?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Some crazy OK Glass Record.
but you know, it's,
do you know what it looked
interesting?
Nice,
but it's very future.
And I think they're taking a punt. I think they're taking a punt and saying, let's go and do this. But
yeah,
probably it won't sell millions. It'll sell to a real dedicated geek audience. And who knows where it'll go.
Yeah, who does know? Because could, you know, it isn't the next step of, you know, you don't have to keep looking at your phone. You know, it's Pebble Plus.
let's not talk about the Pebble.
but they've been also expanding pre-orders to dedicated, you know, aficionados. Basically, they want people who, well, to sign up and experience this, but they want you to give a good reason why you should. But that's only in America anyway, so it doesn't really count for us.
You have to be over 18, you have to be in America, and you have to do something like cool and crazy on Twitter in less than 140 characters, or put a video up or a picture or something to show you were going to use it in a cool and interesting way.
The people that, you know, people who say they're crazy and cool are always
arseholes.
Crazy and cool. They're the most annoying people in the world. Why would you want to give the glass to them? Maybe that's what they're trying to root out, the people they don't want to give it to. Google have also been busy launching another Chromebook. This is called Chromebook Pixel, and they've gone the other way with this. So Chromebook so far has been about really low-end spec machines, really cheap.
Quite nasty.
Yeah. Not all of them even nasty, I don't think, but they're, you know, just pretty much, because it is just a browser. But they've gone the other way with this. So they've released this Chromebook Pixel, and it's going to cost, $1,500. For having LTE, so 4G, and basically $1,300 if you just want a Wi-Fi model.
So $1,049. It's coming to the UK, so we'll get the Wi-Fi model, not the LTE.
Okay. Basically it's a high quality laptop just running Chrome OS, basically.
It's a MacBook Pro.
Well, that's so they've compared it in quality to the MacBook Pro, yes.
Yeah.
But just running Chrome, you know, Chrome.
But if you look at if you look at even the webpage that advertises it, it's very kind of Apple-esque as you go down all the different kind of features, all the big photos. And I guess the big thing on this was it's a screen. And this was there was a video leaked about 3-4 weeks ago talking about the Chromebook Pixel. And there was a couple of posts come afterwards saying that was the best fake ever. As if the people had researched it and they found out it was fake. But nobody really said anything else, which is a bit like, this is probably a product. And sure enough, all the sites just at the same time tonight tweeted, we've got a Chromebook Pixel, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so the screen, they've gone back to 3:2 aspect ratio. Yeah. And you know what?
Makes
sense. When it did go to 16:9 on laptops, you felt your desktop was a lot smaller.
Yep.
Because although the pixels weren't, you didn't really miss out on pixels. When you were browsing webs, when you were browsing the web, looking at spiders' webs on the web, you didn't get the whole picture because, you know, you lost depth of that. So they've gone back to 3:2, which actually, as it is just a browser, is a sensible thing.
And if you're a writer, that kind of screen form factor makes more sense than 16:9. You know, 16:9 was great for video, and I guess that was the end thing.
Yes.
You know, it's like everybody needed it as a media device. So you'll be watching video, or you'll be editing video, or you'll be editing photos, and everything went widescreen.
Yeah.
And I guess they've said, hold on, it doesn't actually suit us. Chrome's browser-based OS. And
iPad's kind of proved actually having that square format, or the more square format, is actually pretty useful.
Yes. So,
yeah. That's good. So it's going to have basically solid state flash storage going on. It's got high resolution. Only 5 hours or so of laptop battery time, which doesn't seem a lot.
No, it doesn't seem a lot, but I mean, just on that, the resolution is 2560x1700.
That's massive.
Which is massive, but also it's touch.
Okay, so they've actually integrated touch into the panel.
So,
as well.
I kind of want to try it, but every whenever I've tried a Windows Touch device, the problem is none of the apps are optimized, so it becomes So some things work really well, but other things, you know, trying to hit a tab or trying to hit a button just becomes really awkward.
But then these are websites, so they can be whatever you want them to be, basically.
Exactly. So I think for some sites, it's probably going to be great having touch.
Mm.
And for others, it's going to really suck. And
good summary.
Yeah, that's an insightful comment yet again. Thanks, Chris. The other thing you get is you get a terabyte of cloud storage.
Yeah, so you get tons and tons of cloud. Obviously, this is all pinging into Google's cloud network and Google Plus, I guess. So you can store your photos and share them out.
And the reason I compared this to a MacBook Pro or a MacBook Air is design-wise, it's all, you know, looks aluminium-y. They've rounded edges. They've said it won't dig in like the MacBook Pro does. They've used a different glass for the touchpad, and it feels a lot nicer to use. They really have looked to focus on design, and it's only just slightly thicker than a MacBook Air. So it's...
So they're going for the high-end market here. They're trying to get developers on board, those early adopters to, you know, that want a bit of nice kit. But as been pointed out, really, the only reason you want to get developers on board is because you have a big user base. And they only sold 100,000 of these units, you know, their Chromebooks. Was that last year? Is that the whole of the year? I've lost the stat. But they certainly are, they're not selling in huge, huge quantities at the moment. And that's what's going to get the developers on board, right?
Yeah, I think it's also back to use case. A lot of people still don't get why they would buy a machine for just the browser when they can run the browser on any machine. You know, there's still that, what am I getting out of this?
No, and I guess their argument is it's absolute focus, speed, and all those things. Get rid of every other bit of distraction, which is, you know, more and more, it's making sense.
I saw a really good tweet tonight which says, why has this come out? And it's what we're basically saying is if you look at any Google internal video, everybody's sitting with a Mac.
Yeah.
And they're saying this is like their device for their developers, you know, so you can you can now go and use a high end machine. As you're saying, battery life probably a bit tight. 5 hours
seems tight. We've said before, you've got to have at least that 7-8 hours.
Yep. Especially for a kind of a device. I mean, the whole point of something like Chrome was supposedly, you know,
really light on power and you could go on forever.
Yeah, but those specs, it's big specs, and that's excluding LTE. You know, I'm sure if you're out and about using LTE, it must drain quickly. But I just don't think this will sell. But I think it's a great product.
It's one of those things I'd like to have one. I'm just not paying that much money for one.
No. I'd honestly think, I mean, Google for me is definitely the new Apple. I'm convinced, more and more I'm convinced. Because they're making things. There's all other rumours about they're going to have, you know, actual physical stores. I do think they're doing all the exciting stuff right now.
Yeah,
you know, Google Glass sounds far more exciting than a blooming iWatch.
Yeah, now they've kind of... Now that they've kind of focused down a little bit and got rid of some of their scattergun approach, they're growing up almost. That's what it feels like.
Yep.
HTC, they have also focused down. They got rid of all their different product lines from last year, and they're going to focus on one massive high-end phone, basically. It's called the HTC One, which HTC always seem to call their phones the One. And it is pretty massive, as is usual, it seems, nowadays, with some pretty good specs and a new version of their kind of Sense UI over the top. They've given it a new name, I think, a new Sense. Is that what they called it, or is that just me making that?
No, it was.
It's like nuisance.
Very good. Last year it was a 1X with Sense. I think it was Sense Touch or something, and this year it's the One with the new Sense.
Nuisance. Excellent. And new Sense is basically, it looks a bit like Flipboard. It's almost like an RSS reader that kind of puts all your news and stories into, you flick down it in an attractive way, basically.
They're clearly running out of things to call things, because they've called us Blinkfeed, which is just, that's crap.
Yeah. And then when you swipe, you can sort of swipe that away to one side, and then suddenly you're left with just a pretty vanilla Android by all sides, which isn't a bad thing. Not quite up to date with the latest Android, but only one iteration behind, and they reckon they're going to get the latest one out. 4.7 1080p screen,
which is ridiculous.
It's just bonkers. It's just it's all mad.
468 dots per inch. I mean, it's.
So that is the highest res thing we've seen, pretty much. They've got the processors to go with it, basically, so got a lot of power going on and 2 gig of RAM. I mean, this is, it's laptop specs from maybe 2 years ago. We would, in a phone. It's unbelievable.
What did you think of the design? I thought it was quite. I mean, they've gone for this. It's all aluminium and it's like a unibody, and they look. It's a bit like the new BlackBerry. They all seem to be keying off that iPhone type design, which is a bit strange.
Well, as it tends to be. I didn't think it was ugly. I didn't think it was truly spectacular.
I really liked the look of it. I thought it was really nice.
I'm still not convinced over this massive form factor yet. I saw someone with an S3 the other day, and they are ginormous things. Or is that just me because I was small?
Well,
I wouldn't
call it a ginormous thing.
They are. They're massive.
They're quite big.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so
there you go. It's a ginormous thing.
Launching in March, so not long to wait if you are interested in the HTC One.
No. And they're clearly trying to beat, there's loads of rumours that the S4 is going to be announced in March. So is it next week's mobile show?
So, is it? Okay, right.
So I'm guessing you're going to see like 20 new Android devices every day next week.
We'll come on to the S3 a bit later, but I mean, S3's clearly sold well anyway. It's one of the best Android sellers, I think. 4G auction been completed now. So they've had loads of 50 rounds of bidding. And they ended up raising £2.34 billion, which is about £1 billion less than forecasts were suggesting they would raise, and considerably less than the 20 odd billion, I think.
It is 20 billion less. They've got 22 billion for the 3G options.
And that's why 3G's always been expensive and phones have been expensive forevermore, because they're still recouping all that money. So they've kind of come to their senses on it a little bit. And it almost sounds a bit like they might have had a little round table meeting there, do you think?
Really?
Like, probably. This is scandalous. I'm trying to think of the word. But I probably shouldn't be saying it anyway.
the way I looked at it is they've all just agreed, look, let's not spend over X, and whoever decides to get there, so be it.
And little three was sat in the corner, and they kind of ignored three, so three had to get in through the back door and get special dispensation to have its own little bit of spectrum.
Good old three, plucky. That's what I call them, plucky old three.
Interesting. So we've got the normal providers come in, and they've bought their slices. But also BT came on board, and they've bought a slice of spectrum. But they ain't using it for phones. They're not going to use it for mobile phones. They're going to use it to support and enhance their wireless networks.
Which I thought was a bit interesting. A bit strange.
But there you go. That's what they're doing.
And you know what surprised me? It all kind of ended with a bit of a whimper. This talk last year, there's all this stuff about it happening, and then it was like, by the way, here's who's won. And we kind of probably knew, who was going to win these. The only kind of, I guess, it's BT kind of kicking around was always what they were going to do.
There's loads of, there's loads of different spectrum levels. I guess it's just the different megahertz and stuff going on. And I don't pertain to understand
nor do I
what they all mean, but friend of the show Brian has kind of given us a summary of what actually it means, all this. You can take us through that, Ian.
I should sit back. What a rip-roaring cock of a man you are, and I hope you drown in that bottle of water. So first up was basically three, looks like they can back up their no price increase because of the small slice of spectrum they've got. Basically they've got, if I scroll back up, I should find it. They basically got this reserved part of the spectrum that you mentioned earlier. So because of the big beasts that were all bidding, Ofcom had made sure that there was a little chunk of spectrum left alone.
Yeah, Ofcom knew that those big BMOS, they could steal the whole lot with and crush someone like a 3. And it's important to have 3 out in the world.
Yep. So 3 basically now have got that reserve spectrum plus also the stuff that they acquired last year. Stuff. Nice technical term. O2. So Brian, if he was a consumer, would be drawn to O2's 4G service. They have the better indoor and rural performing spectrum.
Yeah, they got the beefy waves, didn't they? So the ones that can penetrate, basically.
And that's where I think people get quite annoyed. You know, it's like, it's all right being out and about and getting a signal, but if you're in your house and you can't get a signal, it does get really frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sure there are lots of people that do rely on their mobile connection
more and more
all the time. Yeah.
No, more and more people are not having a landline, you know, and even the whole thing about 4G was this kind of thought that could this replace your broadband connection? You know, could you just end up with one
connection that you go anywhere with? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all you use. And the good thing about this is even Chris will be covered by this requirement.
Woohoo! They will penetrate even deepest, darkest west.
I thought you were going to say you could even penetrate Chris. Let's not go there. Brian actually said he wouldn't sign up with a home DSL cable broadband replacement service. And it's just down to reliability.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a salient point. And there's lots of people have talked about this, but when it comes down to it, is it reliable enough? And then the final part was on Project Beacon, which never really gets talked about in the press. So this is an alliance between O2 and Vodafone. That doesn't include sharing the spectrum. So Vodafone can only use their spectrum and O2 can only use theirs.
So they're sharing beacons, but they're not sharing spectrums.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
And 4G is only currently capable of carrying data traffic.
Yeah,
there are some trials to use it as a VoIP bearer, but they are not in the current standard, which again,
I would have thought VoIP is data, isn't it? This is where my knowledge just goes, whoop, don't know.
Yeah.
So it literally is a data network. So nothing else to it. Well, there you go.
So there's no release dates. They all just kind of put the press releases out and said, yep, this is what we've won and we're going to crack on and get the service out to you.
Aren't they thinking early this year, though? Are they still...
It still is. It's still, I think, three are being vague and just saying this year. I think Vodafone were certainly more confident of, you know, by summer they should have their services up and running.
They've got to get their services out there, because otherwise EE are running away with it.
I don't know. The EE did their quarterlies, and they wouldn't talk about numbers at all.
They're hiding away. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's been as successful as they'd hoped.
So yeah, back to the Galaxy S3 briefly, because although people have been bemoaning the lack of sales of iPhone recently, it turns out that actually iPhone 5 and iPhone 4S both outsold the S3 in the last quarter of last year.
There's nothing much more to say. To me, that sums up a lot of the tech journalism that we get. It's just cool, you know.
It also shows how much. So Apple's basically on the back of that, Apple's share price slid, wiped billions and billions and billions off the value of Apple because they apparently had disappointing sales. It's so fickle. It's unbelievable.
It is. But I do think there is a turning point happening. Previously, a lot of the press would have given Apple a pass, really. And this time, you know, a lot of them pounded on them and said, actually...
Really panicked. Oh, my God, you only sold 10, not 11 that you sold it before.
And
must be drying up.
But then again, S4's coming out soon, so certainly that'll affect, you know, Samsung. People aren't daft.
No, of course they're not. Apple got hacked. This is so, you know, Apple pride themselves on their pristine environment that is unhackable. But basically, someone will come onto that someone... found a Java exploit, a zero-day attack, and infected some computers inside Apple.
Yes, and this was a couple of days after the Facebook hack as well. So Facebook had got hacked and done a release and said, look, some of our employees' PCs, or I think they just said computers. I think they said Macs or PCs. They just said that someone had been hacked, but no customer data was lost. And on Tuesday, Apple basically said the same. And it turns out it's all related to Java, unfortunately. So it's a kind of Java browser plugins
it's another nail in the coffee for Java, I'm afraid. It's just that'll be Apple's reaction. This is outside our control. It's caused us a vulnerability that we're getting rid of it. It's and they're already trying to clamp down on it now.
So. Exactly. It's a bit like Flash. So there was one comment on The Loop, which is a pro-Apple website, but it was Java, just another vulnerability announced. Because at the moment, it seems to be every second day there is another zero-day exploit out there. Certainly, Apple's security at the moment is if that Java browser plugin, I can't remember if it's a Java browser plugin or Java itself, isn't used within the last 30 days, they basically scrub it.
I think, and they're getting more and more like that, so they don't install it by default. As a web plugin, it's not activated by default, even if you've got it installed. So yeah, it's more and more and more harsh on it, and it's not going to be long before it just goes. So obviously everyone blamed China to start with, because that's what everyone does at the moment.
Yes.
But it's not clear that it was them. Is that right now? Is it?
No.
Actually, it turned out to be Eastern European.
They reckon it's Eastern European, and the Facebook and Apple employees that got this were infected. It was actually from a website. So it was an Apple developer site. So it's a well-known one, which I can't actually... Oh, iPhone Dev SDK. That's the name of the forum. And basically there was a hack that they installed some malicious code in JavaScript on the actual forum. So people are browsing... I downloaded this code and their Macs were infected.
And there you go. So this pristine environment that Apple put forward is maybe becoming, this is just again one thing making me come to this conclusion. But, as their market share and their market reach has gone up, they become more attractive to hackers. And it's a sign of the times that Microsoft may be becoming less attractive and Apple becoming more so. It's interesting.
Certainly, I don't think... I think it was always an arrogance about it, and it was like...
It was an arrogance, but backed up by fact, though, as in it was clearly much harder to hack it.
It was. But at the end of the day, if somebody's determined, they can do it. And I think Apple over the last couple of years have got a lot tighter on security, and I think they've taken down also some of their claims on their website. When they used to, put out Mountain Lion and Lion, it always used to be this...
zero viruses, which is probably true, yeah.
Yep, and that's kind of certainly been reduced... And I think it just shows as well that it doesn't matter how good your security is. It's obviously there are lots of ways to be hacked at the moment.
Yeah, so interesting that people jump on China's back when actually it wasn't necessarily them. It seems to be just the de facto norm. But they have uncovered someone's uncovered, and I'm sorry, I'm lost in the notes at the moment.
So there was a security firm called Mandiant. And this was basically, they've got evidence alongside an actual screen capture of a hack taking place. And they believe it's...
That must be very boring. It must be like people's... How do they know that that's a hack? It could be typing an email.
But it was kind of strange that they believe it's almost like one building in China is responsible for some crazy like 70, 80% of the hacks in the world at the moment. There's a lot happening seemingly out of this one building. And it's interesting, there was a BBC crew that were filming near it, and the Chinese kind of state police turned up and arrested them.
Okay.
There was an American crew that the same thing kind of happened as well. So there's definitely something fishy about that. And there's a whole, we'll put a link in the show notes, there's a whole load of evidence pointing to this, but obviously China are denying it. But it's the same way that America was behind Stuxnet.
It's all going on. Most of it is just everyone eyeing each other.
You said a couple of weeks ago about it's dead easy to turn it into big bad China and everything's China. We need to remember what our own governments are doing as well.
They're doing exactly the same thing.
But we do it, and so Iran can stop getting nuclear weapons, because that would be bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it will be bad, but whatever. Burger King, they got hacked. their Twitter account got turned into McDonald's.
This was exactly, and also there was pictures of employees taking drugs in the toilet. It was a social media fail.
I don't know how long it lasted.
It was about an hour.
They managed to tweet out a lot. They made the most of it, didn't they?
Well, and interestingly, they got I think it was 3 times the amount of followers during that time.
Yeah, because people jumped on the bandwagon, didn't they, and actually fake hacked their accounts almost to try and attract the attention as a viral thing.
Burger King got done on Monday, and straight away they changed the logo to McDonald's, and then said, we'll get sold to McDonald's, and look out for McDonald's in a hood near you. And then there was the kind of more, here's some drug users, etc. And then after an hour, they get the account was, you know, locked down, and obviously they got onto Twitter and said, help.
Yeah, we'll get us our account back.
And 24 hours later, Jeep get done. So they get sold to a rival company, and then there was a whole other post about them. But then about 5 minutes later, MTV and Bet, and there's a couple other American TV companies all got hacked at the same time. But then it was like, they were all just ripping each other, and it was like, no, that's just a stunt.
Going for the...
They just look like cocks now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's tied back to, remember there was that hack on Twitter? And they said there was lots of accounts get compromised. I don't know if it's tied back to that, because there's been quite a few people. Even there's a lot of these crazy, random tweets appearing and people saying that wasn't me. I guess I've been hacked. You know, it's like
I've seen random tweets going around. And don't forget that apparently all the passwords are salted and
absolutely
and encrypted. But you know, there's lots of hacking going on.
But I saw Henry, and we've not had Henry on recently, but he got hacked. I think he posted on Facebook about how he clicked on a link innocently, and then oops, he then realised that he'd been done. So a friend of the show, John, he was one of the ones that the other day posted up something about, you know, best way of weight loss is this 2-week diet.
Yeah, I've seen that lots of times. From
and then he was like, I didn't post that. Have I been
that
hacked?
Wasn't me.
Yeah. So Twitter have responded today. They have, okay. So they're now saying they're using a new technology called DMARC, which seemingly is some way of offering a better authentication to email providers, that the email that's being sent out is actually from them. So I think what they're tying back is a lot of the hacks are coming from people getting an email saying your account's been compromised, click here. And people are actually getting spoofed.
That thing,
So this technology, DMARC, which I've not had a chance to look into, but seemingly that offers a better way for email providers. And there's already AOL, Gmail, Hotmail, Outlook, and Yahoo Mail. They're already on board with this and rejecting everything that doesn't tie up with this DMARC authentication.
Okay.
Hopefully that.
But people are also calling for two-factor authentication, just because that obviously just cripples the ability to hack an account as well.
Yep. And also, Donald Trump got hacked. Everybody just laughed, but...
Yeah, no one cares. Google have been boasting about their hacking checks, though. They reckon they now use 120 signals when looking at logins. I don't know how you can look at 120 signals. Just to check what... if you look like a genuine login, basically. And they reckon that level of checking has actually reduced their... compromised accounts by nearly 99.7, so pretty damn good levels.
It is. And I mean,
security.
They said their peak was in 2011, and certainly there was lots of chat at the time about, ooh, Google's getting hacked a lot, and my account's getting hacked, and I've lost Gmail, and there was lots of people tweeting, and again, they were blaming a lot of it in China, because I remember Google were putting up the notices saying, you know, here's where this was last accessed from, and a lot of the time it was accessed from China, and it was like, looks like your account's been hacked, so they were actually telling people that you know, and you can go and do that kind of check still. You can go into your Gmail and see where it's been accessed from. So you can check yourself to make sure that, you know, nobody's just logging in as you. But you know, well played Google. It looks like they had to do something, but it's the amount of effort now that these web services are having to do to protect our data. It's scary.
And you know, it's good that they have done it, definitely. Yeah, good on them. And it doesn't make it too painful to log into. I mean, it is a... faff every now and again if you haven't got your phone next to you.
Two-factor.
Yeah, but it does make you feel a lot safer about it, actually.
Yeah, and it's a pain when you need to sign up for a new service. Like I've got so Mailbox finally dropped down to that I can sign up tonight. Shaq still loves it. So that was that app we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was signing in and it said I needed to do the two-factor thing. I thought, oh, sod it. My mail's under control. I don't need to sign up for this. So I'm just not bothered. So excited about waiting for like 80,000 people to get it in front of me. And now I've got it. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
There you go. Glowing reports.
Change, man.
Yeah, definitely. Soon you won't have millions of little apps on your phone. Not that changed. Outlook.com, they've passed 60 million users. Woohoo! They're going to kill Hotmail as well. So finally Hotmail's going to die off. But it really, it hasn't died off. They're just migrating people from one to the other. So all the, they're basically coming up soon, and I haven't got the date in my mind, they will be chopping off all Hotmail users and effectively migrating them across to make Outlook.com look massive, because Hotmail's still got tons of users.
I think it's the next 3-4 months. They've been quite aggressive. Hotmail is a broken product. They just want people off it.
I don't understand why they moved away from Hotmail. It's such a, it was surely a pretty well-respected email provider. I don't know.
I think it was okay, but the spam was ridiculous on it. And people...
Well, why is it any better on Outlook.com?
But I think also from the application point of view, it was almost like... So the app, it was quite old, and I think it became quite a tainted brand. So lots of folk moved over to Gmail, or they were using Yahoo, and it just, although it has a massive user base, it wasn't growing. It was.
I migrated my Hotmail account ages ago. I assumed everyone did, but obviously not everyone did. So
yeah,
I mean the new Outlook.com does look good. I mean it does look like a good web application. So
no, it does. It does. It's very nice.
Yeah, and Johnny Ive. So Johnny. He's finally got his Blue Peter badge.
This is quite a nice story to finish with.
Go on then, you take
it. I was going to let you do it.
No, it's all right.
You look like him.
What? Do I? What, in his fat days?
It's more the belly. So, Johnny, I've got a gold Blue Peter badge, which is really nice. And you know what was quite nice? Because the BBC put a video up, and it was like a... It was the most kind of human and kind of, it was almost like you would see, not even usually. Does
you mean
like,
when he's not got a bright white light shining on him and he's having to talk spiritually about his nose?
But every photo you see of him is serious. Everybody else is smiling, he's serious. And when he's talking about the, you know, at Apple, you know, and they're prattling on about, you know, we look at this, we've taken it apart, we've redefined how we make a mouse. Well,
are we having an announcement? What's going on?
and when he does all that, it's almost like he's a figure of fun. Whereas this was like the guy was talking to, he was judging some kid stuff, and then they were like, by the way, here's a gold player badge. He genuinely looked, you know, quite touched. It was like, wow. He did look like he's put the weight on. You know,
he didn't
have the kind of slimming. He didn't. Well, I made the pun online that he had lots of eye padding. No, lots of eye padding, and it did look quite chubby. But I thought that was a really nice story.
Yeah, it is very nice because he has inspired a lot of people, and you know, he is kind of a household name. Actually, you know, he's and more. You know, he's done very well for himself and our country, basically. So good for him. He deserves his gold Blue Peter badge.
There's only another fact to end on.
Yeah.
Blue Peter's only presented about 1,000 gold badges in its history.
There you go. 1 in 1,000. That is the end of the news and end of our podcast. Unless you've got a sneak pick for me.
Not at 50 minutes, we don't.
No, fair dues. We've cracked on well long enough. So you can find out more about us if you want to at www.digitaloutbox.com. Email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. And we are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. You can find out all about my racing that's going on at the moment, academyracer.co.uk. Ian, where can we find about you?
My blog is
me spin. Actually,
I was, and that's what I was going to say. The spin you had this week was fantastic. I think I cracked myself more than you because I'd made the video full screen. So I was watching full screen, 27-inch iMac, and I was like,
running out of road. Ah, everything's spinning.
Pretty much. Oh, it snapped. Oh, he spun. Oh, he's kept going. Yeah. Very good. So my blog is ind.net, where I will put up my post about the pebble. And no, the post will be illuminating.
There you go.
Unlike the watch. And Twitter sweeper @ Ian Dick.
Thank you very much for listening. All that's left for me to do is eat a pack of Moroccan couscous for my tea, and we will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll be right back. Only you could end a tech podcast talking about Moroccan couscous.